these next several revs. We're all encouraged that the little that Rusty felt earlier in the morning is clearing, and Chuck just wants to satisfy himself to that fact over the next several revs. Pete Frank was the flight controller on this shift, and he'll run through the notes.
Okay, we picked up this morning, or last night, about 11 o'clock, and went several hours with the crew still sleeping. We did wake the crew up at about 1:30 this morning on the scheduled flight plan time. And apparently they had another good night's rest. They were sleeping when we called them, and the biomed data that we had been getting periodically through the night indicated that they were resting quite well. We got behind in the flight plan at about 41 hours GET, about 3 o'clock this morning. We had a platform alignment scheduled for the night pass between 41 hours and 41:35. And for some reason, that the crew was not able to complete that, and I don't know why. We got so involved in catching up that we never really found out the reason why they got behind. But that, as I say, it did put us behind, and we ended up eliminating several of the mission objectives, or the, not mission objectives, the activities that we had scheduled in order to get back on the schedule. And we did make that, but let me run through some of the things that we did accomplish prior to the shift handover this morning. Okay, the first and most significant thing, of course, was that we did man the limb. The crewmen have, as you saw on television, did get in the limb. They started activating the systems, the electrical system, the environmental control systems. The data that we have seen on these systems looks very good. There's not a thing that we've seen that's not right down the middle as far as the nominal values. Seems to be doing very well. The limb looks real good. We have deployed the landing gear, which is one of the major activities during this phase. We got that done on schedule and got the data, and that worked well. That brings us up about to the point where we did hand over to the next team. And at that, up until that time, we had no indications that we were going to have any difficulties other than just getting started a little bit late, or getting a little bit behind on the timeline. We did eliminate a few things, and I guess just to make it clear, let me list those things that are in the flight plan that we did not accomplish this morning. None of these things we feel are critical. They're sort of nice-to-have category data that we may or may not get later on in the day. We had an S-band steerable antenna check, which we did not make. We chose to pass that one up. A backup voice check on the S-band. Again, this is from the LEM now. We did not get that. We had an S-band conference mode of communication that we did not check. We're going to check the AOT alignment in daylight, and we did not get that one done. Those are the items that we had to skip over to get back on the flight plan. And we feel that none of these are of major significance, and if we don't get to make them up later on in the day, that's okay. We're not concerned about missing those. During this shift, we were planning the maneuvers that will be occurring today. We have two major engine burns. I'm sure you're aware of those, and that planning is going on, and it looks as though those will come off on schedule. And that's all I have.
Yeah, I guess the only other major thing we might anticipate is the, remember about halfway through the TV pass, we went through a snowstorm, I think Stu Russo called it, and I didn't check with Ecom, I don't know whether you did or not, whether that was ground or antenna. I remember we had several of those during during 7 and 8, where we would seem to go through a little snow, and as I recall, in 8, it was ground equipment.
That,
converters, but
yeah, where that occurred, I would suspect it was an antenna keyhole. I'm not sure of that.
Okay.
Keyhole?
Passage point from one station to the other.
Part of the antenna pattern is such that you lose data at certain angles.
John, back in the middle.
Was the failure to make the S-band checkout and the conference mode check in any way connected with the failure of the voice mode on the TV pass?
I don't think so, no.
And can we get a time hack on when that illness was originally first reported?
When the illness was reported? The private, Jim McDivitt, when we came up on Carnarvon the last time, Jim said twice, I'd like a private conversation. And in the course of that, the local time, I believe, was around 7:45 or thereabouts, 7:50 maybe. Sticks in my memory. It lasted about 5 minutes. And we moved something on at about 8:15 to 8:20.
Well, what time was he sick?
That's not very clear. Several hours earlier, he was not sick at 2 a.m. when this around 2:15 this morning, when another conversation was originated to check that very point, to find out how everybody was feeling before they went into the limb. And
7:40 p.m. or
a.m. So it was between the 2:15 a.m. and 7:30, something in that 5 hour range.
Well, he asked before the flight for an anti-motion sickness pill. Is he, and then again this shows up just before they take off in the limb, is he a little bit given to nervous stomach, that sort of thing?
I think that's sort of indicated in the fact that he made the request for the Marazine tablet. And again, this is probably something that should be gone into more in more depth with either Deke and or Chuck Berry. But I think that's certainly indicated when the man himself asked for a Marazine on flight morning. Yes, sir.
Paul, do you know whether he took any medication this morning?
That I don't know. I get the impression he did not. The only thing that came out of the earlier discussion, again, which was a medical one, was that there was a little bit of nasal, a little snuffiness there, but nothing too critical. Huh?
To follow that up, do you know whether there's any consideration being given, assuming this might be a nervous stomach type thing, to having him take medication before he attempts the EVA tomorrow?
Of course, any critical step would be adjudged at the moment on what's going on, but we're satisfied, at least when we left there, that the condition had settled and we're moving on with the flight as planned. And that statement will stand less than until it's changed. Don?
Are we going to get a transcript now in that private conversation?
No, because it was a medical conversation, and we think these things should be privileged, and they will remain so.
Doctor?
Dr. Berry will be over later in the day. And,
could we also get Deke or somebody who could tell us about his background in training, et cetera? About Joy Kurt's
we certainly
background
will.
In training?
Mm-hmm.
What time?
To pin down any tendencies or anything like that. Right. To try to trace this, the possibility of a tendency or, yeah. The next change of shift, I would say. Roy?
All right. Could we go back over the voice communication this morning during the TV pass? Do you have any handle at this time on what was wrong with it, or any ideas as to whether...
All I know is the push-to-talk mode was the only one that worked. There are apparently several modes, and they...
And and VHF.
They finally hit on that position, and the kludge worked that way.
Push to talk on VHF, as we watched it. When they got off S-band and over to VHF, that seemed to clarify it.
Yeah, when we left the center over there, people were gathering data from the sites trying to find out what the problem was. They're working on that right now.
I guess the real drift of the question is, what do you look for in the way of voice communication tomorrow during EVA? Do you think you'll be able to work out this problem?
I think so, yes.
What program is that? Does it all come through in one pipe? Is it all S-band? Or is it UHF, VHF?
Well, it should have been all S-band. But that's a... there's so many communication modes and so many pieces of equipment. It doesn't surprise me that we've had troubles. I'm a little surprised that we've had so much. But it's quite easy to get out of the proper configuration.
Is Dave or Jim going to do any kind of description for you in the control center while the spacewalk, the EVA, is underway?
I'm not sure.
Are either one of these men instructed to describe it as it's in progress to you?
I don't believe that they have been given instructions as to what they should be saying. That's pretty much left up to them as to what they feel they can do. They're aware that everybody would like to hear descriptions of that.
We don't follow any scripts.
I'm not asking for a script. I just thought you'd like to know as much as we would.
That's right.
I think that in the normal course of EVAs in the past, we've been able to know what was going on. And I think Rusty, voluble fellow that he is, will keep us informed. Walter?
Rusty was not very voluble this morning.
How was your breakfast?
And I was curious to know what his job was during that, what we saw on TV. He just seemed to be standing there, and I wondered if he had a particular mission to perform at that time or whether he was just standing there. And also, I was curious to know what we were seeing in those TV pictures. In other words, was the camera down around the floor of the LEM looking up at the tunnel? Is that the attitude that we were seeing?
Well, it was, if you can imagine, I'm in the commander's position here, standing. The camera was down in this corner, and it was just, of course, it was fixed, and just looking, trying to look at the
camera. Why can't I be the commander and you be the one?
All right, you can do it.
Put it here, and it will hit right between us, huh?
Yeah.
Real.
Yes,
and
he was. No, you could not see the tunnel. And he was still, they were in the restraints, you know, the restraint harnesses there.
Rusty's quietness is probably related to his medical condition. Is that a fair assumption?
I really wouldn't say that. It could have been because of the communication problems. I'm not sure he wasn't talking.
Looked like he'd been told to stand there and smile and wear his pliss, which he did very well, I thought. I saw him do a thumbs up, just very alertly. Angus? Angus? That's Angus.
Could you just straighten me out on one thing? During the transfer to the LM, do both crew members use the command pilot's umbilical? In other words, does the umbilical have to be passed back after one is transferred?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sir? Right there.
I would like to know when you're going to take the go decision for EVA, and I'd like to know if this decision would be affected by Schweikart's condition?
Absolutely. It would be affected by his condition. They're certainly not going to give him a go for EVA if he's not in condition to go EVA.
How does it look right now?
I'm really not qualified to answer.
I think we'd have to refer the statement. We're following the flight plan. We're going to stick to the flight plan. If we change it, we'll let you know. His condition or any other slightly anomalous condition wouldn't have any greater or lesser effect, but it would have just that much effect in the total consideration down the line. Jim?
What's the latest that decision could be made?
Wait a minute. Jim?
On the same subject, is
Has it absolutely been ruled out that he does not have a he does not have a virus, and that we're dealing with a combination of perhaps motion sickness and nerves rather than a virus?
I don't really know, do you?
I don't know how you could rule it out or in, you know, at this range without examination or anything. That would be a very good question, I guess, for Chuck or one of the doctors later. Vic, you want to know when was the final cutoff on EVA? Go right up to it.
Yes, we could make a go or no-go decision just prior to depressurizing the limb.
I guess there are a number of discrete events when he goes on the PLIS and things like that.
Yes.
And each one is a check as a go-no-go point. In the back.
Can you tell me, towards the end of that television transmission, it seemed as though McDivitt was putting on his helmet. Now, is that anything to do with trying to improve the voice communications?
I don't know. I was surprised when I saw him putting the helmet on. I'm not sure whether he was... I don't see how it could, though.
If Schweikart is not well enough to do the EVA tomorrow, is it possible that one of the others, I mean, for instance, McDivitt might do it?
I doubt it.
No,
I just don't think so.
I believe the EVA has the lesser priorities of all the major events in the flight, as a matter of fact.
Yes, that's true.
The system burns, the engine burns are much higher priority items. We've done lots of EVA over the years. Nelson?
If Schweikert's condition causes you to change the EVA, can you let it slip a while to later in the flight? Is the flight plan such that you can do it later?
No, I don't think so. I think if we could not do the EVA tomorrow, we would probably not do it at all.
The limb wouldn't be there, I guess, is the main consideration.
Yeah. We'd be much more inclined to press on with a rendezvous or the other more important activities, I guess.
Roy?
Following that through, for the sake of assumption, let's assume that Schweikert wakes up tomorrow and is not fit for limb activity. You could slip your program a day, couldn't you? You could say in a case like that, we're just going to stand pat today, give the boys a day off. Couldn't you do that?
We could slip the rendezvous a day. Yes, if we just completely left the limb powered down, we probably could delay a day. I guess I'm just kind of second-guessing on what we would do if Rusty didn't feel very good. I shouldn't be doing that because that's not my business.
But that's the total ability to slip is one day, and I think that was identified in the pre-flight.
That's what I was referring to.
Yes.
That's why I used a
Yes.
Okay, Waller?
On that helmet episode, there was a reference to let's go to position 5, as I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
Was that related? What did they mean, moving the camera to a different
position?
No,
there is a remote control unit that controls the communication modes on the PLIS, and it's positions 1 through 5.
Jim?
How many other private conversations have there been during this flight, and were there some that we didn't hear about on Apollos 7 and 8 also? It seemed to me on 7 and 8, their medical data, how they felt and so forth, was carried live. I'm wondering,
no.
Is this a change in policy? Or?
No, it was before 8 that we stated that we were quite definitely for the record that from here on we were going into the possibility of private conversations, and probably more, they would be more medical in nature than anything else. And we did, the first conversation we had on Borman's illness after TLI was private, and then the conversation was later released. And on this flight, we've had 2 conversations, and both of them managed to fall on this shift. One was to find out what the medical status was, and the other one was to tell us about a developing medical status.
Are you talking about the same medical problem?
No. We had a conversation about 2:15 this morning where the doctors almost perceptively called the crew and said, how do you feel? How does everybody feel before we go into the limb today? And they were assured that they felt fine. And in fact, they did. And then about 5 hours later, McDivitt came up over Australia and said, we'd like a private conversation, and reported this other condition that Rusty had, and it was discussed, and it was, that was the, that was that.
Did you rule out releasing these, Joel?
Rule out?
Yeah, releasing these.
Oh, the ground rules under which we're operating says that if there are medical conversations in the classic doctor-patient relationship, these ought to remain private. Mm-hmm. And there can be exceptions to that, but there ought to be, I mean, the crew ought to feel strongly that that ought to go out, or somebody else ought to feel strongly. And there, this really isn't so different. Down at the Cape, I sat last week outside Dr. Barry's examining room every morning while he looked down their tonsils, but I was not in the room, and I did not hear what was said, nor did we get any requests for transcripts. But we did give the status of those examinations as they occurred every day, including the one on flight morning, and including the Marazine request. Vic?
Can we just review what's known about this delay in the IMU alignment and what the problem with the optics was?
No, I don't know why the IMU alignment was not done on time. There was a problem in the manual mode of driving the shaft. It had seemed to temporarily hang up at some angle. There was no problem with the automatic drive. And the manual one, at least at this point, apparently was only a nuisance, and they worked around it. Now, that probably contributed to delaying the IMU alignment. It was done, and was done very well, a rev later. And that's all I know at this point.
And if EVA would have to be canceled, would this necessitate a repeat of the whole mission?
No.
No.
Definitely not. Me in the back.
This illness seems to have occurred after the eat period. Do you know whether Schweikert had any breakfast or not?
No, I don't know whether he did.
But I guess it's a fair assumption. Huh?
I would guess that he did, yes.
We can't guess. We have to know if you can tell us.
Well, I don't know. It's in the schedule, and
we can always guess.
Could you give us a bit of history on this? Has there been any previous case of an astronaut vomiting in orbit?
Oh, yes. Where were you on Apollo 8?
In Europe.
Oh, really? I thought they knew all about it over there. BBC and all let us down. Yes, we had some illness there. We've had a number of irritations. In Apollo 7, we had the flying flu ward, you know, the all the colds and a good deal of testiness. Yes, sir.
Do you know if there were any sleeping tablets taken last night or the night before?
I believe that Rusty took one last night and the night before.
Because he had the best sleeping record of the three astronauts. And McDivitt only had 2 hours on the first day. Is there any explanations for that?
No, other than that's not too unusual for a first night in orbit.
Right. But they sleep tonight.
If EVA is scrubbed on this mission, would it be taken into Apollo 10?
I don't, but in my opinion, it would not, no. Apollo 10 is a pretty busy mission as it is now, and I don't believe that we'd seriously consider inserting that into the mission at this point.
And that's a question far beyond the mere peon, flight director, PAO
yes,
kind
you.
Of level,
that,
I think.
That's my opinion, but that's certainly.
Yes, here's one up here.
But in this case, cancellation, would you feel reasonably sure that they would have this emergency exit
yes.
capability?
Yes.
In spite of the fact that you can't try it, or couldn't try it if it's canceled?
Well, if we didn't try it in orbit, we have certainly tried it and practiced it in the water tank.
Thank you.
Okay, there are no questions down the Cape. Thank you very much.